Welcome to New Time Live. It's life changing. Lives transforming. It's you turning from bondage to freedom. New Time Live.
The reason why I preach the way I preach is simply because I know what I've been through to get to the place where I am in my life. It was thought it was tragedy, but it was an opportunity to give me a testimony.
Death to life on New Time Live. Traveling across the globe, winning the lost at any cost, is your host, Bishop Kamal Frazier.
Then hello everybody and welcome to today's broadcast. I'm your host, Bishop Kamal Frazier, and I'm so glad that you could have joined us. Today we have such an incredible program put together for you, and I'm expecting God to show up not only in your home, but right here in the studio. I believe he's going to show up and he's going to make an impact in your life like never before. This word is one that I know so many have asked for us to have discussion on, and I know that it will make a huge difference because, when there are certain things that we've been talking about, the hidden giants, when there are certain things that just constantly hide itself around the body of Christ that prevents us from going forward, we want it to be shown so God can truly do exactly what he have called us to do. Amen. So again, if you're joining in, if you're tuning in, I encourage you to share this platform to so many different individuals. Tell them that we're live, we're on, and it's time for today's discussion. So I want to remind you that we are live on YouTube, we're live on Facebook, live on the Fire TV, also Roku, and our website, www.missionsfornations.com, and also www.mftntvnetwork.com. Don't forget, you can also listen to these broadcasts on Spotify after it airs, so you can experience a podcast platform as well. Guys, I'm really excited. I have a special guest here with me that I'll share with you in just a moment. But before we do so, we're going to pray, and we're going to have Minister Brown. Minister Brown, by the way, how are you, sir? Doing all right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Ready to do some worship and praise today?
Yes, sir.
All right. You're just hoping that they also worship and praise with us. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And, of course, we have with us none other than Minister Ricky Gilliard. He's with us. How are you, sir?
Doing well.
Awesome, man.
Thank you for having me.
Man, how's the family?
We're good. We're awesome. Doing real good.
Man, will you see in the topic we're going to be talking about today? I hope you're looking forward to that discussion.
I am. I'm truly. I think that the people will be blessed, and we will be blessed as well.
That's Amen. Exactly right. So, guys, stay tuned. We're going to dive into praise and worship, and then we'll come right back with this teaching today.
Hallelujah! Somebody bless the Lord tonight.
Turn into eyes. You open the eyes of the blind. There is no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Lord, from the ashes we rise. There's no one like you.
Out from the ashes you rise. There's no one like.
Lord God, the things we may deal with on a daily basis, you have showed yourself to be an overcomer. Yes, God. You have showed yourself to us being overcomers through Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you are anointing right now this moment, that as the word, O God, come forth, Lord God, it will visit each and every person tuned in a way like never before. That God, we will hear you, we will experience you, and God, you will be glorified in every single way. We say, have your way now.
Have your way.
In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise amen. God, praise God. Our God is greater. Thank you, Minister Brown, for leading us into that incredible time of worship and reminding us who God truly is in our lives. And for each and every one of you that's watching, there is so much that God would have us to experience, but we want to continue to talk about this topic, facing hidden giants. And I want us to really focus on a particular part that we have talked about, several things. We've talked about bitterness. In fact, last time we talked about strife. But this one, we want to talk about the spirit of control. The spirit of control. And when I think about that topic, one of the things that I used to do as a leader is, I would not give up some of the things that I would do. I've always tried to do it all. And if somebody else does it, I go and redo it and all of that. And the Lord taught me how to give up some of that. But we're also going to dive in into where we talk about where they are controlling spirits. So if you, in other words, there are spirits that try to control what you do, almost like using your hands to do everything versus letting the spirit does what needs to be done. The book of Galatians, though, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19 through 20, the Bible says, and we're going to use that as our base scripture, it says, Now the work of the flesh, the scripture emphasizes, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which is witchcraft, hatred, contentions, jealousy. It also talks about outburst of wrath, selfish admissions, and dissensions and heresies. These are the works of the flesh. In other words, the flesh will develop so many things, push you in so many ways to get into the place where you can't function in how God would have you to function. But you know that the spirit of control is actually one of the most, which we've talked of it, we've talked about all the different subtle hidden giants, but the spirit of control is one of the most subtle giants a believer can ever face. How do I know that? It doesn't always, which I said before, it doesn't always shout, hey, here I am. It doesn't always look distractive at first. But a glance, listen to me, the first glance sometimes, let's put it this way, it looks like being responsible or cautious. But underneath that surface, listen to me, underneath that surface, control is often a mask for fear. The fear that if we don't hold everything together, everything will fall apart. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody that have kind of gotten into that place. But this giant, what it does, it whispers that we must have the final say, that we must fix it. You know, we growing up, people use the term Mr. Fix It, right? Manage, it puts us into a place where we want to manage everything or push it into a place where, we know how to deal with it or how we're the only one that can deal with it. You know, I've taught a message about passing the baton, and that's one of those messages that really helps individuals to understand you can't always do everything. You have to give up some control. It convinced us that trusting God, this is what control does. It convinced us that trusting God is not enough. It's not enough. In other words, this giant, it always whispers in this way, like, I want to help God do what he needs to do. But the more we grasp, the less peace we have. The more we understand that control is a spirit, is the less peace, or the more we control, I should say, is the less peace we would have. So when we try to control what belongs to God, or should I say God's people, or the outcomes and timing of anything, we step out of the place of faith and into a place of frustration, okay? So the result is often exhaustion. In other words, you get exhausted. Secondly, you get disappointed. And straightway, it interrupts relationships. Control doesn't create stability at all. It actually drains it. It's like trying to hold water into your hand. Are in your hands as a whole. I don't know if you have ever tried that. I've tried that many times growing up. But listen, the tighter you grip is the faster it slips through your fingers. In the scripture, King Saul, he became a tragic example of this. He was anointed by God, but but he actually undone all that God have done. His needs were not met as he needed to do. It needed to be met. He was so into controlling that he lost everything. Everything around him was gone. Instead of waiting for Samuel, he took matters into his own hands, and it cost him his kingdom. Control always costs something. Listen to me. It will cost you your peace. It will cost you your relationships. Sometimes, even it will cost you your destiny. In other words, you're trying to get somewhere because of the spirit of control. It costs you your destiny. But there's another way that you can go about this, the way of surrendering. Surrendering and say, I just got to give up some of this so someone else can take on the baton. Jesus showed us that in Gethsemane, when he said, not my will, but yours be done, that one statement crushed the power of control and opened the door for redemption. The true strength, listen to me, isn't in controlling outcomes. It's in trusting the one who already holds them. So letting go isn't saying, God, I don't have the understanding, or I don't understand, as some of us would say. Everything is completely in God's hand. So don't just say, I don't understand. Just remind yourself that everything is in God's hand. So when we release control, we make room for God's power to move freely. He can open doors that we've been trying to kick down for so long. He can change hearts we've been trying to manipulate. He can bring peace to place where we've only stirred up tension. If we feel the weight of trying to hold everything together, your family, your ministry, your future, hear God whisper today, be still and know that I am God. When you release the need of control, you will find that he was never asking you to carry it all in the first place. So listen to me. The giant of control only falls when we trust God completely. I want to say that again. The giant of control only falls when we trust God completely. And when that trust becomes real, listen to what I'm saying to you. When that trust becomes real, peace replaces panic. Faith replaces fear. And freedom replaces frustration. I want to talk to you today about this amazing topic with my friend and my brother in ministry, none other than Ricky Gilliard. We are talking about the spirit of control and, of course, exposing the hidden giants or facing the hidden giants. As you hear this today, are you excited for it? Are you excited about this talk?
Yes, absolutely. I was moved just listening to you as you were describing and breaking down the whole situation. I think that as people, we have a great fear, I think, sometimes that God may not fulfill what he's promised in us. And so we go ahead and make a decision before time, before even taking a step towards what God wants us to do. We take an opportunity in ourselves to see if we can grab the reins and if we can control it. And oftentimes we fail. I think in my own life, if I'm talking about mm-hmm. me, I can think of several times where essentially it's idolatry, mm-hmm. you know, where the mindset is, since I'm used to doing everything on my own, taking care of things on my own, if I can't do it, nobody can.
Can't. Right.
And it causes me to doubt God, or I would think a lot of people that way.
And you said the key word that we have discussed here, that I've mentioned here earlier, is trying to play God. Because sometimes people, that's the issue with, or that's how they get in the fall of the trap of control, is with pretty much we're controlling the hands of God. Lord, if you can't do it, I'm just going to have to help you. Because mm-hmm. the Bible gives us so many scriptures when it talks about they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. In other words, Lord, I'm going to pray for it. I'm going to believe you for it. And then, boom, you're hearing the Lord says, all right. You know, we are saying, I didn't get an answer, but the Lord said, I have already given you an answer. It's either wait, yes, no, or wait, you know, and mm-hmm. we're delaying, and we're saying, Lord, I can't wait no longer, so I'm going to go after it. It's like we're controlling the hands of God. So as we are diving in, before we go too far, I really want to remind the people who you are. You are an amazing, I know in my own knowing you and your father. Your father was just here a couple weeks ago on awesome. The broadcast, and you're here with us today, and you're in ministry. Tell us a little bit about you and your ministry and family.
Yeah, yes, sir. So Elder Ricky Gilliard, I'm an elder in the Churches of God in Christ.
Awesome.
So I thank God for that opportunity. I've been a member of the Church of God in Christ for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, my dad is my pastor.
Amen.
As my pastor, I follow him in ministry and see how I can help him in all ways. Mm-hmm. My family is in ministry. My wife actually runs praise and worship at our church.
Amen.
And so as the minister was singing earlier, I was just thinking, man, I would have loved to have her here too. We could have had a whole worship session.
Oh, that's awesome.
All of my kids are in ministry as well. So yeah, we just love God and we're doing our best to promote him in our community.
Amen. Amen. And you, as you are getting ready to really venture out into doing even more ministry, that's one of the things that I believe that we're going to have to face, is because we can't do all of it. We have to be able to say, hey, here is a couple of things. Some people got to do some of it. And that's one of the things that I realize even in church. Some things that I just have to, I use the word delegate.
Yes, I think delegation is key. I think as leaders, though, sometimes it requires even more trust of us in God to delegate to other people. We're so used to God moving us a certain way and we have a vision. When we relay that thing to other people and it doesn't seem like it's moving quite as fast or things like that, yeah. So I think delegation is a key part of what God does.
Amen.
I think there's a time and a season for every purpose. And so we can't think that we're going to be planted a certain way at all times, that God is going to actually move us.
Yes.
You're going to be planted. You may be plucked up from that place.
Yes.
And so you got to have somebody there that can take the reins and keep things going as God moves you.
I agree. If you're just joining us, we are talking about facing hidden giants. And today's subtopic is focusing on control, the spirit of control. And we want to really break that down to you. Many of you have requested that we discuss this topic. And I want to ask you the first question in this matter. There is a difference between control and submission, or control and leadership. And we'll dive into a good bit, but there's a control and there's a submission. Because even weeks ago, we have talked about the spirit of rebellion, because it can go so many different ways. So people sometimes called lack of submission control. In other words, they don't want to do what's being instructed of them, so they say, you are controlling me. You technically hear that mostly in relationships, and that is why I kind of want to hit that a little bit. So what's the difference between that thin line? Am I being rebellious or am I being controlled?
I think you actually said a word I think that causes a lot of problems in relationships, period.
Mm-hmm.
And that word is submission.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we quite understand what that is. And so it becomes a wrestle between, like you mentioned, am I being controlled or am I being rebellious? Because you lack an understanding of what submission is.
Yes.
And I think that, so for definition purposes, I look at submission as coming under a mission.
That's right.
That's what sub meaning mission. Under
that's
mission.
Right. That's good. That's
and
a good
so
one.
If you understand that there is a mission, that there is something God is trying to accomplish, and that there is headship in the way God operates, you will bring yourself under, because you have to bring yourself under.
Yes.
Right? When we talk about marriage, years ago, my brother wrote a song, and in his song, he had this lyric where he said, when a husband loves his wife unconditionally, it causes the wife to submit to her husband intentionally.
Wow, that's good.
And I just believe that, and I think that once we understand that, the wrestle between control versus rebellion, it will subside if we understand that we're submitting to the mission
of
God.
Mission. And I like how you break that down, because then you could also go right back to that same thought process or that same analogy or the way you express submission, mm-hmm. control, yes. you break that down because right. control is conning. It's almost like using a remote, taking right. somebody a different direction than where, you know, where they technically are going. So definitely, it's a good way to look at it. But looking at the focusing on the spirit of control, mm-hmm. First of all, is the desire to play God. Because in the faith world, we want not to play God. But we want to say, you know, I'm going to actually hit it a little bit. I was trying to, you know, not go too deep into it. But when we think about playing God, have you ever had somebody that, you know, they're praying for you or they're praying that something won't happen certain ways, but they are the one that actually are trying to make what you're praying don't happen actually happen to you. I know I'm talking to somebody at home, you know, so you're saying, oh, well, I wouldn't want that. And when they realize it's God's not letting it happen to you, they try to make it happen to you by words, by actions, by manipulations and things of that nature. So have you ever seen that kind of scenario have played out before?
Yes, 1,000 times. I've seen it happen 1,000 times. And what I've noticed in those types of situations, mm-hmm. you hit the nail on the head early in your monologue when you were talking to us. Mm-hmm. Listen, we lack trust.
Yes.
We lack trust, and we think we see it better and more clearly than God does. Mm. And yes. so we will enact, and you can see examples of this all throughout the scripture.
Yes.
You know, Sarah and Abraham, right? Mm-hmm. God said, you're going to have a son, but you're old.
Yes.
You might want to go and see one of these other ladies. We're too old to do mm-hmm. this. And so we put our hands to the plow.
Yes.
Instead of letting God control the mm-hmm. reins. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, yes. I see that all the time.
You think a lot of people miss out on what God is trying to do because we have taken the wheel. Versus letting God play out exactly what he had planned for us.
It's an operation in weakness. Mm-hmm. It really is. It weakens the whole idea of what God's trying to do.
Yes.
The Bible says that we are complete in him mm-hmm. who is the head of all principalities and powers, and that when we are weak, his strength is made mm-hmm. perfect.
Wow.
That means his strength is fully complete yes. when we've come to the end of ourselves.
That's it.
And we realize we can't do it. Mm. I do not have the power or the strength. Yes. And then he can show you just how perfect his strength is.
And maybe you're watching and you're wondering, you know, how do I know that I'm a control person or I'm being controlled? Let's put it this way, and I want you to know this, that control actually begins when we stop trusting God. All right. So when you stop trusting God and when you stop trusting God's timing and start taking matters into your own hand, that's where it actually begins. And the Bible says this in Proverbs chapter 3. How do we deal with that? Proverbs 3 and verse 5 through 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. So the Bible is veering us away completely from ever saying, I'm in control, but saying, Lord, you are in control. I'll read that again. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Lord, I don't want my understanding, because if I ever lean on my understanding, I'll be controlling things. Mm-hmm. You know, and that right there tells me that, God, I want you to have full range or mm-hmm. full reign in the situation. So when we try to manage what God can handle, and you know, then we step out of faith and we're now into flesh. Like the scripture I've emphasized earlier, what are the things that the flesh implements? So it emphasizes that we should say, Lord, I don't want to step out of this thing. I want to depend on you to carry me through. So we should definitely give God the range to take us through.
Absolutely. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6.
Yes.
That sixth verse, I think, is key as well, because mm-hmm. it says, acknowledge him mm-hmm. in all your ways.
Yes.
And what happens when you do that? Mm-hmm. He makes your path straight. Mm-hmm. And see, we're on this winding road that we call life. Mm-hmm. Things go out of our control all the time. We can be tossed to and fro. Mm-hmm. But when we acknowledge God, he makes the path straight. Mm-hmm. He makes crooked places straight.
Yes.
And so that in and of itself empowers us.
Yes.
We weaken our positions when we distrust God mm. and try to do it on our own. Not this past Sunday, but the last time I spoke at our church, I actually talked about Jonah.
Jonah,
yeah. Yeah, we went through the whole book. It's a short book.
Nice. That's all right, yeah.
This is a short book. And I told the church, you know, I actually don't like reading the story because it ends so abruptly.
Right.
Right when it's getting good, that's the end of it.
That's true.
But what I pointed out is, if you look at Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2, God tells Jonah, go this way. Verse 2, Jonah goes the opposite direction.
Wow.
And then sometimes in our lives, as soon as God tells us to do one thing, we immediately go in the opposite direction and we think we're doing it the right way.
Wow.
Weakening our position in God. And that is the spirit of control.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
In that situation, there's a long story, but Jonah didn't want God to bless the people. And God did want to bless the people.
But there is a way to get them their blessing.
Absolutely.
But he was going his way versus God's way. Absolutely.
And God turned it all around. And so we have to trust God because he has a plan. The Bible says that God says that he has plans for us. He knows the plans that he has for us. Plans for good, not for evil.
That's it.
We have to trust that. Yes.
Sir. Yes. Wow. That's powerful, you know, because when you think about even thinking about the story of Jonah, and how he was going a complete opposite way. It's the same way in a life. If God is trying to bring you to a place and we're pulling back, a lot of things about to happen. The rope is about to pop. Something is about to give until we begin to go in the same direction in where God would have us to go. If you have three people or five people on a boat and three of them is going this way and two of them is going paddling this way, then you're going to have that. It's just technically spinning in a circle. It may be going this way a little bit because you have a third person, but if you say, let's try to go this direction. So that is what God is intending for us. So when we talk about control, when we talk about facing these giants, let's look at our next point, which is possessiveness.
Yes.
Possessiveness. I had to breathe for a second. Yes. All right, possessiveness. And we're going to talk about love turned into control. Ooh. Amen. Love turned into control. So possessiveness actually disguises itself as love.
Absolutely.
It disguises itself as love. But watch this. It is actually rooted in something that a word we use all the time, which is fear, which is fear or loss. It says, I love you, so I have to control you. So this goes right back to exactly what I was asking earlier. Most times when we hear the topic control, it comes in a relationship factor. All right? So that's why we're saying possessiveness, where love turns into control. Possessiveness, it disguises itself in fear. So a lot of times people are afraid. That is why they secure certain things. I'll give you a couple of examples, and I'm sure this is going to probably turn you up in a whole different ballgame in this discussion. For example, when I got married, one of the things that we discussed was when it comes to the financial part. I said, listen, man, when it comes to here, I don't want us to be like the money where this is your money and this is over here. No, I want it to be where if you need something, you go get it. It's the money is there. That's what it is. Of course, we're going to have a vision. We're going to have a plan. We're going to know where we're going. But I never want the conversations to be, oh, this is my money, this is your money, and I'm not going to let you have this money because I don't want you to go here, and things of that nature. So a lot of relationships have that back and forth deal. And as the Bible says, the love of money is the root of all evil. And if you really think about almost any divorce, any issue in life, it comes back to money. Was it that someone was getting too much? Was it that they were afraid of losing it all? And one of the things that happened, you see somebody have an account over there, hidden, stashed away. That's because they're thinking of the D word, you know? And, the D word, the divorce, the what if kind of perspective. So here we go.
I love where you're going with this. So yes. I would dive even a little bit further into that. Mm-hmm. And I would say it's not even just, it's selfishness.
Yes.
It becomes this point of there's something that I'm willing not to sacrifice for us. Mm. This is mine.
Yes.
And I'm not giving it to us. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you become that selfish in your relationship, there starts to be a fray.
Right.
Because the idea of marriage is what? Oneness.
Oneness, yes.
We can't be one if we're two.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Come on.
We can't be one if we're two. And so there's a TV show my wife and I used to watch. Mm-hmm. It's a very popular TV show, a sitcom called Friends.
Friends, okay.
Yeah. Yes. In Friends, there was this episode where Monica was about to marry her best friend Chandler. Mm-hmm. And they moved in together. They've been great relationship.
Right.
Once they moved in together, Chandler notices that there's a closet in the room that actually in the house that has a lock on it. Mm. The only door in the house that has a lock, and he can't find the key anywhere. Mm-hmm. And he thinks this is strange. Why does Monica have this one door locked and no one knows where the key is? So he asks her about it. Mm-hmm. And when he asks her about it, she says, well, don't worry about what's in the closet. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. So now he's going crazy.
Yes, because he don't know.
Because I don't know what's in that closet. I don't know why the door is locked, mm-hmm. but something going on back there, and I need to know what it is.
Yes.
And so what Chandler does throughout this episode is he's trying to break into the closet. That's what happens in our relationships.
Come on.
When you ward off this area and you say, you can't touch it, you can't come here, this is my secret place, then your spouse feels like I have to find a way in there because I don't know what's in there. They're afraid.
Yes.
What's in there could hurt. Me.
I love you. Go right back to
and
the
so,
fear. Yes.
So he's afraid of what's in there. Mm-hmm. So he keeps pressing her about it. She finally comes home one day, sees him trying to break in the closet. She's like, what are you doing?
Yes.
And he was like, Monica, I can't take it anymore. Mm-hmm. I got to know what's in this closet. Mm-hmm. Now, Monica was a neat freak.
Yes.
Everything in her life was always clean.
Organized.
And in place.
Yes.
And so she says, okay, fine. She pulls out the key. She opens the door and the closet is a complete mess. It's in complete disarray. And he's like, oh my God. And she's like, listen, when I clean up, sometimes I end up with things that don't fit anywhere else. And I just throw it in the closet.
Wow.
And it turned into this big mess. I've been throwing things in this closet for years.
Yes.
Nothing in here fits anywhere else in my life. So this is the place where I put all my mess. Mm. And she's so neat that she's ashamed of it.
Wow.
And he sees it and he says, you're normal. You got a mess too?
Yeah. Wow.
And
wow.
he falls deeper in love with her. Sometimes our fear and our attempt to control our relationships drive us apart.
Look at that.
There is a vulnerability in love. Mm-hmm. There's a so love is based on this thing that we call passion, right? Mm-hmm. There's a root word to passion is patai. It's a Greek word.
Come on.
And it means pain.
Come on.
It means to suffer. So when you are looking for someone that you are compatible with, you're looking for someone that you can actually suffer through things with. When things are good, we get along.
Come on.
But when the hard times come, can we suffer together?
Come on.
And so there's a pain in love. There's a what the song say?
Yes.
Love hurts. That's what it says.
That's a good one.
And so when the Bible teaches us this, and I'm sorry, I'm just talking.
You're good, man. You go ahead. We're in this. Yes.
The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4 that God is love. And it also says that a perfect love casts out all fear.
All fear, that's right.
So
that's
love is actually the opposite of fear.
That's exactly right. And that's powerful. That is indeed powerful. Because here we are seeing that love, it's rooted, or should I say, possessiveness disguises itself as love, but it's rooted in fear.
That's right.
And as you are emphasizing that, I'm seeing that, you know, the scripture says 1 Corinthians 13:4-5, it says love is patient, love is kind, it does not insist on its own way. And as you were telling that story, you're looking at that and you're like, yes, I love you, but I gotta see what's in that closet. But what's neat about that is that at the end of the day, it really, your faults would not have kept me apart. What would have kept me apart is if kept us apart is if I didn't know.
Right.
So that was truly powerful. So true love gives freedom.
Mm-hmm.
True love gives freedom. So with the love, you are able to give freedom. Control demands complaints. You know,
yes.
It demands certain things from you. So when we try to own people or their outcome, or we end up fighting and fighting God's plan for their life. So body of Christ, remember that, you know, if we will just issue true love by just saying, you know, Lord, I give this to you. You know, people have always asked me, some of the times when I'm in premarital counseling and things like that with individuals, they would say, well, I've tried everything. I've tried everything. I've done all that I need to do. And I said, did you pray? Did you pray for them? They're
wow.
Like, no. You know, you haven't really done all that needs to be done. You just pray and believe God, and what will happen, that is the love that's going to develop, the love of God that will bring itself over the over that circumstance. So if you have anything in your life, or if you have things in your life that holds you back from saying, Lord, I want to give you complete control, just remember, just let go and let God. Amen? So
Amen.
I want to talk about the next topic, and that was powerful. Good illustration. I want to talk about dominance, which is a sign of pride and insecurity.
Yeah.
Dominance, a sign of pride and insecurity, because dominance actually is the, it's actually outward, it's the outward face. It's the outward face of control, of a controlling spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It demands submission rather than earning trust. So when we talk about dominance, it demands that someone submits versus earning. And I've seen that so many times, seen that day in, day out. People just, you know, you gotta, you know, I don't know if you've heard some of these scenarios. I'm the man of the house. I'm the head.
Pants.
You know, my wife would always say, yeah, watch. The lady's the neck. Watch what you're doing. But you can't just demand submission, but we must earn that trust. Go ahead.
Yes, I that was powerful the way you just put that together. I think that we absolutely have to earn trust.
Yes.
There's a different kind of submission when it's intentionally given to
mm-hmm.
you. You know, it's a fight.
Yes.
You're in a battle when you dominate and control someone.
Yes.
And that's not even power. True power operates with humility.
Yes.
Jesus was humble. Not because he didn't have power, but because he did.
That's exactly right.
He stayed on the cross,
yes.
Not because he had to stay on the cross,
mm-hmm.
but because he could.
That's right.
He had the power and the ability to do so. And so when you're dominating,
yes.
you're showing that you don't have
mm-hmm.
what you say you have.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's good. Because, and you touched on the ability and the things that Jesus actually did. He could have say, hey, I am God and I'm not moving that and I'm not doing that, but he came as a servant. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 20, 26 through 28, whosoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And looking at that, you're saying, you know, each and every one of us should approach situations as I'm serving. Believe it or not, nobody wants to hear, if I walk around and I tell people I go to church and say, yes, you are a servant, that would offend them.
Right.
But the truth is, the Bible says that's what we are. That's what we should be. That's what we should emphasize. I should serve. It doesn't matter who you are. Don't demand that you be respected. Don't demand that you should be trusted. Or don't demand all these details, but say, Lord, I'm going to just serve. And if you're willing to serve individuals, if you're willing to be a servant, I
yes.
could tell you that you will earn that merits that God have been trying to give.
Servant leadership.
Yes, servant leadership.
Servant leadership. And I believe, if I'm correct, in Matthew, right where he teaches that whoever is greatest among you, let him serve.
That's right.
I think right before that, he just washed their feet.
Mm-hmm. He taught them how to serve.
Like he literally washed his feet, their feet, and they were like, "No, Lord, you can't wash my feet." And he was like, "Well, if I don't wash your feet, you know, that's how you know that." So I say that even as like husbands, leaders in our homes,
yes,
we serve our families.
That's right.
We serve as pastor.
That's right.
We serve as protector. We serve as provider. And so there, and we have to have a servant mindset in doing so. This is my service.
Yes.
You know, the Bible says that you honor your wife as the weaker vessel.
Come on.
Not that she is one.
Come on. That's right. As if.
You honor her as if she's the weaker vessel, meaning she doesn't have to carry the weight. I'm going to honor her, and I'm going to treat her like she doesn't have to.
That goes right back to what I was saying earlier.
And so that's,
absolutely.
Yeah, and so you earn what you're trying to dominate and force.
Earlier you said what Jesus did.
Yes.
Not only did Jesus come and he served, but Jesus actually led by humility instead of intimidation.
Ooh.
And a lot of times that is people's perspective in winning is intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you don't do this, this is going to happen. But intimidation is not what Jesus led by. He led by humility.
Yes.
You know, a controlling individual, they will achieve nothing. People would actually live in fear versus loyalty. Mm. Individuals will live in fear versus they would live in loyalty. And so it's time we relinquish control, not just in the wide atmosphere, but say, "Lord, you are completely in charge. Show me, direct me how to lead. How to lead my family, how to lead my household, how to lead whatever it is that God would entrust you with." And at that point, when God is in control, he teaches us how to effectively lead. It goes back to where the scripture says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needing not to be ashamed," rightly dividing the word of truth. If we say, "Lord, I want your word so I can show, I could do what you've called us to do." One of the things that people fail to understand is that if we don't have it to give, we can't give it. So therefore, "Lord, fill me up." A songwriter says, "Fill me up, God, fill me up. Till I overflow." And I love to talk about overflow because everywhere in the scripture, God always emphasizes that he wants not only to bless us with overflow, the purpose of just having overflow, but he wants us to live off of overflow. Mm-hmm. It's the overflow that's going to bless your neighbor. It's the overflow that's going to impact the person next to you. It's the overflow that people on the outside will begin to see. It's the overflow of, "Wow, there's an abundance that's flowing off of that person's life. I know they've been living well and God is blessing them, but look at the overflow. I want some of that." And that's how churches grow. That's how ministry increase. That's how people's life begins to develop. Is God saying, he's just saying, "Lord, give me something to give." But then when you go demand it and take it, we can't effectively experience what God would have for us.
No, not at all.
Come on.
That was great. I was listening to you and I was imagining us approaching God with love, right?
Yes.
You know, it's ironic that even God, though he has the power, he could force us to love him.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't.
But he doesn't. No.
He doesn't. He allows us to love him.
And you know why?
Go ahead.
Dominance destroys relationships and it weakens spiritual authority.
Absolutely.
So Jesus can't force us to love him. That's why he said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." It's us coming to him. He loves us, but we have to say, "Lord, I love you back."
And that perfect love,
yes,
that is the kind of love that casts out fear.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm a husband and a father. There are plenty of things in the world that I'm afraid of. But if something I fear is threatening my family, my love is going to charge me up. And I'm going to overcome whatever it is that I'm afraid of to protect that which I love. Mm-hmm. Love will always cancel out fear.
Come on, that's
and
right.
And so as long as we are operating in fear, and that's why we try to dominate one another. I'm afraid you're going to leave me. I'm afraid you won't love me back. I'm afraid you won't accept my faults. I'm afraid of all the things that I've, mistakes that I've made. I don't want you to see it. I want to put that in my closet. And God says, no, love for real will cast that out. Mm-hmm. It'll force you to say, you know what? Here I am.
Here I am. Wow. Look at that.
Just like Christ on the cross, complete vulnerability.
That's it. That's it.
And so until we're at a point where we're willing to be vulnerable with God, that we're willing to be vulnerable with the people we love, we will destroy our relationships.
Come on, look at that. And that, if you're joining, this is some amazing conversation, just talking about facing the hidden giants in our life, the spirit of control. And we have this other one that I really want to talk about a little bit, and we're going to try to go through. We have two more that we want to give, but witchcraft. The ultimate manipulation, witchcraft. All right, so the Bible calls witchcraft a work of the flesh, as we read earlier, because it's the attempt to influence or manipulate others through human or spiritual means outside of God's will, outside of God's will.
Yes.
So bringing somebody into a place where they're not spiritually able to connect with exactly what God would have them to connect with. So witchcraft as the ultimate manipulation. We've talked about witchcraft, which one of the things we've talked about says it is like witchcraft. When we, I think it was, I can't remember exact one we talked about because we talked about so many as we go. But go for it.
The what I was thinking about was the scripture, I want to say it's in Samuel.
Samuel 15:23.
Yes.
Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Go ahead. Yes.
And so, being rebellious in a relationship, we talked about it earlier where we were comparing being rebellious versus being controlled.
Right.
You know, on the other side of submission, it's either you're being controlled or you're being rebellious. If you're in rebellion, that is witchcraft. That is a spirit that is anti-Christ, anti-God, and it will definitely destroy your relationships. But what ends up happening is when a person tries to dominate you so much, rebellion is what comes next.
Come on. Wow.
That's what comes next. That is the response that most people have. When you look at our world, you look at how the United States was shaped, right?
Yes.
After you dominate people for so long, there's going to be rebellion.
Yes.
And that rebellion will grow until the world has to change. And that's what happens in our relationships. You try to dominate someone so much to the point that they rebel, and that rebellion grows to now our whole relationship has to change.
Wow.
We all got to do something different here.
But you know, when we talk about, even when we mentioned witchcraft, this is an act that actually controls individuals today. I know that when we preach and we talk about these topics, we talk mostly to people that are already Christians and people that are just fighting witchcraft.
Right.
But in this case, sometimes we got to talk to the people that are creating and are in sorcery, because sorcery was big in the Bible days, and sorcery is big as it's big even now. In fact, just recently they were protesting in Jamaica about there's an act of witchcraft called Obia, and they technically people were going after trying to legalize Obia. Why? Because it brings an income, and the government would actually get their income tax from the acts of what they do. Technically, right now, they are not getting nothing from it.
Right.
So getting into stuff like that controls people's life, controls people's money, controls people's, and it's happening. It's happening right now. Baphomet and Illuminati, all these things are all Freemason. All of that is still, the difference is that if they do it, the difference in Jamaica and here they do it and make it a legal stand where the government gets their share, or it's really a fat pig's world in that regards. So when we talk about this, we've got to let people be aware that witchcraft surrounds us every single day, and it is used to control us. Control your marriages, Hallelujah. Control your finances, control your land, control your home. And when it's identified, when this giant is exposed, we can fight against that witchcraft.
Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. I have nothing to add except that the Bible also teaches us that greater is he that is in us mm-hmm. than he that is in the world. Yes. And so it's the same scenario that yes. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees about, you know, when they accused him yes. of casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub, you know, and he let them know that a kingdom divided can't stand. Yes. And so he goes on beyond that to tell them, listen, if a strong man is bound in his house, yes. then you can come in and plunder it.
Yes.
But as long as that strong man is there, he will protect his house. Mm-hmm. Which witchcraft does, like you said, yes. it tries to bind mm-hmm. the strong man. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But greater is he that is in mm-hmm. us. Then, for those that are not saved, mm-hmm. it gives you an even greater incentive to yes. find that greater. Wow. To have him inside of you, mm-hmm. to be able to have control mm-hmm. and trust him to guide you.
It is a spirit of manipulation.
It is.
It's witchcraft is a spirit of manipulation. And it's not just a spell,
no.
but it's also magic. And that's what they utilize to get people into a place where their life doesn't go further unless they wanted to. I've seen mm-hmm. ministers and preachers preach against that, and they have to deal with a lot of that when they're out throughout their sermons. I've seen demon-possessed individuals that have to be cast out because of stuff that's been laid on their house or in their, and they use so many things. I always tell people, you know, witchcraft can be developed instantly, because if you really want something to happen, you can sit right here right now and you can do it every single day, come here every single day and look at that plant over there and command it to move in your name or whatever name. After a while, it begins to move and you get more familiar with that, and then you start to tie people with that. But, you know, but that is something that is real, that we need to believe that people are broken and delivered from, so yes. it doesn't continue to control their lifestyle. Yeah.
What I was going to say, yes. In addition, I think the spirit of witchcraft, mm-hmm. it's a strong delusion.
Yes.
It's a strong deception. And it confuses the hearts and the minds
and the mind.
Of
the,
yes. It completely corrupts you in that way. And so, yeah, we've definitely got a lot that we could talk about.
That we could talk about. Yeah. And the final example on that was Jezebel was controlled through manipulation and fear. Yes. But one thing that happened with Elijah himself, he stood firm. And why did he stood firm? Because he was confident that his God, that God was for him. And God would have yes. brought him through. The final topic, final point is the freedom from spirit of control. How can people really go through this? How could people be free from that spirit of control? Because freedom really begins with surrender.
Yes.
And I'm gonna really give you that opportunity to answer that and to really help somebody today get from where they are. If they are in a place where they feel like they're being controlled, or they are at a place where they are controlling. So asking the question, knowing that freedom, we desire freedom from the spirit of control. They desire freedom from the spirit of control. We want them to experience that. James chapter 4, though, in verse 7 emphasizes that submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Because people need to be released. Release people, release situations from, you know, and he will begin to see the yes. outcome. Replace control with prayer. And the fear of with faith, you know, release the fear with faith and pride with humility, as Jesus did when he was on our earth. He walked and he dealt with humility. The Holy Spirit leads and never manipulates. So therefore, one of the things that we as Christians should focus on is, Lord, I want you to show us how to do it, and God, we will flow with that. So freedom from spirit of control. Talk to somebody, bless them now, and then we'll wrap with that tonight.
Yeah. To be free from the spirit of control, it begins with first surrendering to God. You must submit yourself to him wholly. What does that mean? That means that you have to first acknowledge that you are a sinner, that you are separated from God. Now, maybe you are a believer, but in this way, you are walking in sin that you need to acknowledge, that you need to repent of, and you need to surrender yourself to God. As the scripture says, and I would just like to read it further, James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, it says, "So submit yourself to God, but resist the devil, and he will flee, from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and make your hearts pure, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and weep. Turn, and he will turn your laughter into mourning and your joy into despair. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you." In order for us to be free from the control of the world, the evil controls of witchcraft and rebellion, the works of the flesh, we have to submit ourselves to God and trust him wholly and allow him to be our guiding light for the rest of our lives. Amen. So, with that being said, I would like to just maybe pray for somebody and then move on from there. Father, we want to thank you for this time, and I thank you for those who are listening. I pray, God, for those who are wrestling with the spirit of control.
Hallelujah.
Those who may be wrestling with being dominated or domineering. I pray right now that you would send a spirit of power, for your Holy Ghost came with power first, the power to give us to walk right, to talk right, and to experience your grace. And we thank you for it, Lord. Save someone today. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you. Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. I know this was a powerful topic for many of you, but I want to remind you that, you know, hidden giants, control may, it may look powerful, but it's not in any way a match. It's not a match for the power of surrender. So when we as the body of Christ would yield control to God, or give it to God, in other words, we gain something called peace. When we stop trying to force the outcomes, we start seeing miracles. So let go of the possessions or the possessiveness, pride, manipulation, and let God be God in your life, and watch your life, your family, your ministry, you will see it flourish in every single way, and you will be free. Freedom is yours. God wants you to be free. Control have nothing on you. The spirit of control, we come against that now in the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Wherever you are, wherever you lodge, I pray that the anointing of God will bring freedom in your mind. Freedom to know that God is still God, and your life will never be the same again. Operate as a servant in humility, and you will see God work. Thank you again for joining. So glad you are here. Thank you for listening, and I encourage you to share this platform. Again, you have many ways to share and let people, many ways to watch, and I invite you to share it in many different ways as well. You let somebody know that this word is for them. Maybe you know someone that's dealing with the spirit of control, whether they are being controlling or they are control. I'll leave that word for another time. But today, be encouraged. Know that God's got you, and he will bring you through. Until next time, here on MFTN TV Network, Godspeed. Thank you for joining, and I hope you were blessed by that word today. Please consider going to missionsfornations.com and leaving us a line as an email, letting us know how blessed you were today. God bless you. Have an awesome day. Bye-bye.